Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LaSere, and the message today is titled, What Did Jesus Mean? Blessed Are Those Who Hunger and Thirst.
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be yours today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series today on the Beatitudes, on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And it's called that, of course, because Jesus went up on the mountain and taught His disciples. And so we've already done the first three Beatitudes. Today we're on the fourth one. So let's take a look and ascend those slopes again. Leave the lower mist of the valley behind. Go up onto those bare, rocky heights and those upper, free, cool airs and sit down with Jesus, our King, and have Him speak to us of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. So we're going to read Matthew 5, verse 1, and then I'm going to jump to verse 6 for the fourth beatitude. There we go. Seeing the crowds, He went up on the mountain, and when He sat down, His disciples came to Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, verse 6, fourth beatitude, He says, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. That's what we'll talk about today, the fourth beatitude. And what does Jesus mean to teach us here about the kingdom of heaven, His kingdom, the kingdom of God through this word? Well, the first thing we note here, as we have in other weeks, is that this is Jesus declaring a blessing. Because He starts with the word blessed. Blessed are you who? And so what's the word, Kevin, you know it? No. In the Greek, we've done it for 3 weeks now. Yeah, maybe you don't know. It's Makarios. We've looked at that, which means blessed, means the word blessed, happy, joyful are you when you, and here He says, when you hunger and when you thirst. So the first thing we know is it's a blessing He's declaring. But the second thing we learn here is that this is very strange, isn't it? I mean, blessed, happy, and joyful are you when you hunger and thirst. Now, why is that strange? Because that's the opposite, we would think, of being blessed, happy, and joyful when you're hungering and thirsting. That's painful. The word in the Greek for hunger is pinao. It even sounds like pining away, doesn't it? Like you're wasting away for hunger. It means to be hungry, to be famished, or to be starving. Blessed, happy, and joyful are you when you're famished and starving and pining away, Jesus says. Then He says, and when you thirst, dipsao. That even sounds like, dip me in the cold water, Lord. My throat is parched. Give me a drink. I'm so thirsty. So this is very strange. Jesus would say, blessed, happy, and joyful are you when you are hungry, famished, pining away, thirsty, dying, basically. You're in pain. You're hurt. You're uncomfortable. You're deeply disturbed. You're craving. You're desiring something when you hunger and thirst that you don't yet have, yet you desperately desire. See, my throat's even parched as I'm talking. You know, the world would say the opposite, wouldn't you say? The world says, no, Jesus, you got it all backwards. You don't know anything. It's blessed, happy, and joyful are you when you're full, when you've eaten to the full, when your thirst is quenched, then you're blessed and happy and joyful, not the other way around. But Jesus says, oh no, I counter you. It's blessed, happy, and joyful are you when you hunger, when you thirst. Indeed, when you're feeling a great pain inside of you, a great yearning for something that you desire and you don't have, when you feel that way, blessed, happy, and joyful are you. So it's really a strange reading, at least at the first read, I mean, a strange saying. But next is, what does Jesus mean when He says, blessed, happy, and joyful are you when you hunger and thirst? For what? Is He talking about earthly hunger, like you want a box of Oreos or a steak dinner or something? Does He mean when you're thirsty for a Gatorade in the Florida sun? No, obviously, what is He talking about here? spiritual hunger, spiritual thirst for something. What does he say? Blessed, happy, and joyful are you when you hunger and thirst for righteousness. What's that word in the Greek? It's dikaiosune, which means righteousness or justice. When you're thirsty, yearning for, wanting to be quenched, to have righteousness in the earth and in your life, and justice to prevail and to rule. What does this really mean? It really means is blessed, happy, and joyful are you when you hunger and thirst for God and his kingdom to come. Amen? Because what is righteousness? What is justice? No one on earth is righteous. God alone is righteous. And therefore, we're hungering and thirsting for God and for his kingdom, for his rule, which is righteousness and justice in the earth. We desire, crave, pine for, cry out for, thirst, hunger for that. And Jesus says, if you hunger and thirst for that, for me and for my kingdom, blessed, happy, and joyful are you. For number one, you have the heart for my kingdom. And number two, because you shall be satisfied. Isn't that a great word? What a promise to us. When we're in pain and seeking righteousness and justice and not finding it, that Jesus says, but a future promise, you will. You will be much satisfied at my coming, says the Lord. So this is a great promise of comfort to us. Do you know that we're actually called as Christians, and it's good and pleasing in God's sight when, frankly, you're not comfortable. When you're going through this life and you're upset, you're irritated, you're vexed in your soul, that you're looking out on the world and you see no righteousness, you see no justice, but that rather injustice and evil are abounding and everywhere present in the world. When that irks you and troubles you, Jesus says, that irks and troubles me. Blessed are you. You're in a good state if you feel that way. Because frankly, that's the way the saints have always felt when they've gone through this world. Take a look at David. Remember great David? The Old Testament. Look at how he talks. He says, as a deer, this is Psalm 42, as a deer longs for flowing streams, so longs my soul for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? For my tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me continually, where is your God? And look over here at Psalm 63. He says similarly, O God, you are my rock. That says, O God, you are my God. I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh faints for thee, as in a dry and weary land where no water is. Do you feel like that? When you look out at the news, the world, the evil, the injustice, all about you and even inside of you, do you feel like, oh God, may your kingdom come, may your Christ come. I seek justice, I seek righteousness. Oh Lord, when will it come to the earth? So blessed, happy, and joyful are you when you're feeling ill at ease, when you're troubled, when your spiritual tummy is growling, when your spiritual throat is parched and you're crying out and pining away and yearning for and seeking this righteousness, justice, God, and his kingdom. But why must we hunger and thirst in this world and be so ill at ease as Christians in this life, in this earth? Why can't we just be satisfied, happy, fulfilled, content, and all at peace now and be satisfied today? Wouldn't you like that? That'd be great. Why must we be in pain? Answer is because God's kingdom and his justice and righteousness is not yet here, at least outwardly. You know, it's working in us, but his rule has not yet come to the world. Christ has not yet returned to the earth. It is still an evil world, a present darkness, says the scripture, an evil age, a fallen world, and justice, righteousness, says the scriptures, stands afar off, and truth has fallen in the public squares. Righteousness, do you see righteousness in the world? Well, rarely, a little bit, but pretty much no, especially when you look at the world at large. So why do we specifically hunger, and for what do we specifically, or why are we specifically thirsting? Well, number one, when we see no righteousness and justice in the ethereal sort of spiritual places between heaven and earth, what do we see there instead? Is that Christ rule? No, there's a devil, says the scripture, called the prince of the power of the air. You ever think about that? The air between heaven and earth, somehow in that area, in the invisible places, wickedness rules. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, as you well know, that we are not contending against flesh and blood humans, but against principalities, powers, world rulers of this present darkness, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, we must take the whole armor of God, the armor of light, and stand against the devil in these days that we may, having done all, to stand. So don't you hate that and pine away for, hunger for righteousness in those invisible realms where right now it is infested with villainous, corrupt, criminal spirits, the devil and his evil band of marauders? You know, they seek ambush against us at every turn. They assault us. They assault the world and they wreak havoc, which you see every day in the news manifesting itself. And in our days, evil is seemingly on the great increase. And why? The good news is their time is short. The devil's come down to you, O earth, in great wrath, because he knows he has but a little time before he's put away forever by Christ. But in the meantime, what must we do? Bear it. Deal with it. Hunger for it. Thirst for righteousness in those areas where it is not yet there. So it's good, Jesus says, that this vexes you, vexes me. Seek justice there. The second thing is that we have to hunger and thirst in this world because of the evil and the injustice that's found in the world of men, especially in the higher places of our society. Do you think that there's a lot of righteousness there? Not seeing it. We're not only facing the devil and his demons, but also the men who follow them, who seem to be in power in our days, at least a great percentage of people in high places of power. Look at the kind of things they're doing. Manufacturing crises to deceive and seize power. Creating and striving for wars and death. For violence and abortion. And we've even seen, unfortunately, it slipped out of Kamala Harris's mouth, if you saw this a few weeks ago. One of their agenda aims is to depopulate the earth. Is that like something you want your leader to say, or a person in authority? What's depopulate mean? It means to either kill or cause not to exist in the first place. Nice fellows, these in high places we have to deal with. And you, as I'm sure know, the people at the Davos and the World Economic Forum, their aim and agenda is no more meat for you, no more good drink, but rather you shall eat bugs. I mean, these people are absolutely nuts. Do you not hunger then? Do you not thirst for righteousness and justice in the high places of our society to rule and Christ's kingdom to come? For at present, Isaiah's words are fitting. Justice is turned back, Isaiah 59, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth has fallen in the public squares and uprightness cannot enter. Truth is lacking and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. And even companies like Disney, which we expected to work for families, they now have a little boy dressing up as a girl to advertise all their princess dresses. This world is not just, and therefore, if you hunger, Jesus says, if this makes you thirsty for righteousness, blessed are you. That's my heart as well. Thirdly, we could be hungering and thirsty. I'm thirsting, I believe, for righteousness and justice in the lower levels, where we live, you know, the common man. Now, they're not planning to depopulate the earth, our everyday common Joe down the street, the unbeliever, but still, our neighbors, our some of our own family whom we love and we care for, they don't know the Lord yet. They're still living in rebellion. They're in sin and they don't want to repent. They don't want Christ in his kingdom. Doesn't that make you thirst? Doesn't that make you hunger and cry out for righteousness for them too, that they be saved? That's a good hunger, Jesus says, and a good thirst that bothers me too. And fourthly, we cry out for righteousness in us, in ourselves, don't you? you know, we're counted as righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. We're saved through faith in the Son of God. Amen. Praise God. We're Christians. Saved. But I see, at least in myself, as Paul says, another law at war with the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members and my body. It's like I'm chained up with poison, sin, nature, still in my body. I can will what's right, but I can't do it, says Paul. I don't do the good I want, but the evil I don't want what I do. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death, he cries. Is that not hungering and thirsting, Vivian? To cry out, wretched am I? Don't you feel that way? I feel that way. I'm sure you do too, if you're a Christian. We hunger and thirst for righteousness in us to be finished, that we be wholly bright, but we're not yet. We must bear it for a time. And one more, fifthly, we're also crying out, I believe you as well as me, for righteousness and justice in the created order. You know, at present, what are we seeing? The skies are polluted, the rivers and seas getting poisoned. Creatures are groaning, the whales, the seals, the deer. Nature falling apart, and the Bible says the stars are about and ready to fall from the sky because of man's evil and the end of the age. Don't you hunger and thirst for righteousness and justice for the creatures and the creation as well? That all things be set right and free once again, and Christ rules? Well, if you hunger and thirst for these, Jesus says, that's good. That's very good, because you're seeking my kingdom. It's good to cry out in anguish for these things. Do you know that Christians are the only people who hunger and thirst? If you're not a Christian, you don't hunger. You don't thirst. Consider the demons that we talked about. They're forever doomed and evil. They have no hunger and thirst for righteousness. They're accursed. Wicked men in high places and those amongst us, a common man, they're not hungering and thirsting for righteousness, because if they did, they would love Jesus. But because, no, they don't want that, they say, no, I'm filled already in this life. I like to eat of the dainties of this world. I like to drink of the pleasures of this life and the lust of it. And frankly, I'm a good person. I'm righteous of myself. I have no hunger and thirst for someone else's righteousness. And so they are not saved, because they have no hunger and thirst. They don't have a hunger and thirst either for the nature, which is falling apart, to be set right. I mean, yeah, unbelievers want, they feel the pain of the creatures too. They're sorry the world's falling into trouble, but they aren't seeking an Eden, a return to it with Christ there. They want an Eden without Jesus. So they're not hungering and thirsting as we are. Christians alone are blessed. Christians alone are seeking with hunger and thirst the righteousness and justice of God, which is Jesus Christ and his kingdom coming. And Jesus says, if you hunger and thirst and crave and are vexed and are ill at ease today, blessed are you, happy are you, joyful are you. For number one, my kingdom belongs to you, for you have a heart for it. And secondly, because here's the great promise, you shall be satisfied when I come in my kingdom. I will make you eat and drink to the full, and that forever. Isn't this a great promise of good cheer to us? For consider, the promise of being satisfied is a future promise. Amen? You shall be satisfied. But how quickly, how long do we have to wait for satisfaction and the quenching of our thirst, the filling of our hunger? Well, for some things, it's really fast that Jesus blesses us. First of all, in our righteousness and justice and our relationship with God. How long do you have to wait to be filled there? The moment you feel the sting of God's law and it makes you thirsty for true righteousness, when you realize you're a sinner and guilty and you desire a Savior, how long does it take for God to fill you and satisfy you there? Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Eat and drink, you shall be satisfied. He says in John 6, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. How long does it take then, Ernie, for us to be satisfied when we come to Christ? Instantaneous, right away. He comes in and rushes there to gift you, watch this, righteousness. You want it? Guess what? I have it. I take your sins on the cross, on myself. Now I gift you my righteousness, which you, believing, receive it as a free gift. It covers you, and immediately your soul says, I eat, I drink, my thirst is quenched, my hunger satisfied. Thank you, Lord. And we read in Proverbs 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. Wilma, do you have a continual feast today already? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? You can eat and drink of him, and already you're feeling those pangs going away and the thirst quenched. Praise God. Secondly, as we're looking for a righteousness in us, you know, our old nature that we had when we were dead in our trespasses was all we had. But now God, when you believe on him, gives you not only righteousness to cover you, but puts righteousness inside of you. So that now something in there is called a new nature, a divine nature that actually wants to go in the right way. That's already hunger and thirst being fulfilled inside of you when you desire God and his kingdom. That is so beautiful. We already see that also being fulfilled in us in the Holy Spirit as well. For Jesus said at the last day of the feast, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. What is that, Zuleika? That's the Holy Spirit inside of you, welling up to eternal life, this river of life already flowing inside of the Christian. You can drink of him every day, the Holy Spirit and the new nature. And then we actually see good in the world through deeds. What deeds? The deeds of the Christian, like Cecile there, helping the poor. I delight and drink of what I see you doing and of the kindness in visiting each other in the hospital, proclaiming Christ, the love and kindness of the Christian towards other people. This is a continual feast for you, even in this age before Christ comes. But now, there are some other things we have to wait for. We have to wait for the righteousness in us to be complete. Because as I said, we're constantly crying out, oh God, wretched man that I am, I'm hungering and thirsting, and I hate the sin that's still inside of me. Jesus says, but be of good cheer. That's not for long. When I come, I'll make you wholly bright. I'm going to give you a perfection. For I, who began a good work in you, I'm going to bring it to completion at the day of my coming. My people shall all be righteous, says the Lord, and you shall possess the land, the shoot of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Yes, pretty soon, you won't even have a sin nature. Are you thankful for that? You shall be satisfied. You shall also be satisfied as you're looking for righteousness on earth amongst men. For either, on the one hand, they're going to repent and be saved, or on the other hand, they will be removed, says the Lord. For behold, the Lord is coming forth out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth will disclose the bloodshed upon her and will no more cover her slain. Jesus, with his kingdom, comes to remove all causes of sin. All evildoers, hopefully they repent and get saved, but if not, the earth shall be gifted only to his own, and righteousness will cover the earth. And according to his promise, we wait for a new heavens and earth in which righteousness dwells. I'm looking forward to that. Justice and righteousness will satisfy you, and very soon, says the Lord. Be of good cheer in this beatitude. And the creation itself, I'm going to set it free from its bondage to decay. I'm going to make all things new, says the Lord from his throne. And when I come, it'll be at liberty. And the creatures will rejoice. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with a young goat. And a little child shall lead them. For thus says the Lord, they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Are you looking forward to that one too, friends? Everything's going to be right, just, and good at our Lord's coming. Be of good cheer. And Jesus says, best of all, and most of all, your hunger and your thirst for me, that's going to be satisfied. Now, you can only see me by faith and away from me, and already you're drinking and eating. But pretty soon, you're going to see me face to face. I will stand before you. And you're not going to be away from me. We together are going to be home in my kingdom. And when you feast upon me with your eyes, you shall indeed be satisfied and drink to the full. For the Bible says, they shall see his face, his name shall be on their foreheads, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, but he will guard us and keep us and lead us by springs of living water and rain forever. You shall be satisfied, says the Lord. So, in conclusion then today, if you are in pain, if you are troubled, if you are vexed, if you are ill at ease with what's going on in the world today because of injustice, Jesus says, but be of good cheer. That's the heart of those to whom I give and gift my kingdom. You belong to it, and yes, be of good cheer, for you won't have to wait for long. I am coming soon. And Psalm 36 says, you shall feast on the abundance of my house, and I will make you drink from the river of my delights. And that in a continual feast forever, and my kingdom, which I prepared for you in the world to come. Yes, blessed are you when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you shall be satisfied. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, What Did Jesus Mean? Blessed Are Those Who Hunger and Thirst, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church of Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the former Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week, and our Lord Jesus Christ, the great Captain of our soul, and God bless you.